Geographically. This is cool. So I would say make sure that pretty face is showing.
Yes, true.
They're going to want to see that fucking thing. They're going to want to see that fucking thing, Alan. That fucking face. You good?
Ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyper Conscious Podcast. Alan and I are going to do a solo-sode. Is that a word?
Solo-isode.
Solo-isode?
Nah, I think it's a word now.
Okay, cool. We're going to do a solo-isode today about what?
Leadership.
Leadership.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I dig it.
Yeah.
I want to speak on an experience that I had this week. And it goes hand in hand with leadership. So yeah. I don't want to go into that right now, though.
Okay.
No.
Do you want me to start?
I want to save it. So I know you have stuff written down because you are prepared as always.
Prepared AF.
So I think you should start. Direct us. Where should this podcast go?
So I think to start off, I think it's important for everyone to realize that whether you consider yourself a leader or not, you are.
Interesting.
The definition of a leader is someone who influences others. And all of us do, to some extent. So the amount that you are a leader is predicated on the amount of others that you influence and to what extent. So some of us are larger leaders than others, or more so leaders. But I think that seeing ourselves as a leader is critical in order for us to kind of take responsibility for that, you know?
What do you think, and this is going off the rails a little bit, starting strong here.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of, like, you know how celebrities, you'll hear celebrities say, like, yeah, I'm famous and I have, like, a lot of people following me, but I'm not a role model and I don't have to be?
Yeah.
That's like a very slippery slope.
Totally.
Because, yeah, you kind of don't. Like, you still kind of do whatever you want because it's your life and you, but do you have a responsibility?
That's such a great point. So I think that's an awesome way to start the podcast. I think that everyone should have the freedom to live life on their own terms. But if you do have a large influence, like let's say you're a professional athlete in a marketplace that a lot of people value. In America, it's football, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have some obligation to lead by example? I think so. Because if you do want to add positive value to others, then I think that you would inherently hold yourself to that standard. But then again, if you want to be the way you want to be, then you also have the right to do that. So it's really a choice, I think.
I think it's tough because, so even if you are in the NFL, even if you are in the NBA, even if you are, whatever it is, you're still kind of like, you're on a team.
Yeah.
Right? So you're kind of like advertising for the team. So you are part of something. So you
greater than yourself.
Yeah. So I feel like if you care about the team you're on, you should try to be the best version of you. But I feel like a lot of people don't think that way. Like we were talking about that earlier. Like, so we'll go into the story now, right?
Yeah.
I went to the mall, and the reason I'm telling people this, it's not so people think I'm a good person. That's not what this is. This is because this is a really good concrete example of what leadership is and how being a leader can actually really help you in the long run.
Yes.
A young lady, a listener of the podcast, reached out a while ago. You and I have talked before about the messages we shared and how far she's come and how much progress she's made.
Oh, yeah.
One of her fears was kind of public speaking and starting conversations with people.
Yep.
So I said, all right, cool, let's go to the mall. Boom, boom, let's do this. So Thursday we met at the mall. And it's weird because I was like, number one, you already did like a huge fear thing by just meeting me.
Yeah,
like, this
exactly.
means, this isn't hard to meet you for me because this is part of my purpose. This is part of my passion. Like this, I am so lucky that I'm able to do this.
Yeah.
But I also did tell her that, like, look, we're going to approach people today. We're going to go into stores. We're going to talk to people. We're going to fear chase. I am also afraid. So I want you to know that. I'm not nothing special when it comes to this. I just am willing to do the stuff that is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And once you learn that, like, after that 3 seconds of, oh boy, when you force yourself to just boom, do it,
yeah,
it's not that bad.
Yep.
So we went to stores, we were talking to people, having full-on conversations. She did a great job. I'm so proud of her. It was awesome. And then we rode around on these little go-karts that were... Did you see my snap? Did you end up seeing it?
No.
I saved it.
What do we got?
I'll show you.
Yeah, please do.
So there's this little kiosk in the middle of the mall that's like these little go-karts,
yep,
but they're like zoo animals. Okay. So I rode around on this little elephant, and she rode around on a giraffe.
Nice.
And it started because I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, what can I do? Like, test me. What can I do?
Yeah.
She said, go up to that kiosk and try to get rides for free. And I was like... I was like, I'm going to get rejected, though. Guaranteed, because they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, whatever. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So we went up, and I told the person behind the kiosk, I was like, sell me on this. Like, why should I want to ride this? And they had no idea what to say, because I guarantee nobody's ever said that before.
Yeah.
So they rode around a couple times, and then I was like, you know what? 2 tickets. We're going to do this right now. Like, right in the middle of the mall.
Nice.
So we rode around, and afterwards, she's like, that was, like, probably the most fun I've had, like, through this entire fear-chasing thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because... You had zero expectations.
Yeah.
Like, your expectations were that people were going to laugh at you and point at you. And we had people walking by us. They don't care what you're doing.
Exactly.
They don't care.
Yeah.
So how does this tie into leadership, you're probably thinking. By going there, I forced myself to be the best version of me.
Yeah.
There is no way I could have done that and been not bold, not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not courageous.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to be the best version of myself. So when we say, be the hero of your own story, that's what that means. That means pretend like there's somebody there that depends on you.
Yeah.
Like, to pretend
that
there's...
In this case, there was.
Right. Yeah. Because you never know. I put up a post the other day that, that's out.
Oh, okay.
I just have little ears.
All right.
Keep going. You never know who you're inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, you never know who you're inspiring. And when I got home, she sent me this long video message on Snapchat about how grateful she... I literally cried. Again, I had an overwhelming moment of gratitude where I cried. And I genuinely feel like that's what I should be doing.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I should be doing. That was good.
So let's analyze that, right? So you have this person who had the courage to reach out to you.
Yes.
To talk about fear chasing and how she wants to get outside her comfort zone. The reason why that even happened is because you did a podcast episode talking about fear chasing and talking about how you would go into the grocery store and smile at people,
yes,
hoping, you know, to see what would happen and just trying to build confidence. That was the building confidence episode we did. So we chased our dreams with the podcast. We did an episode on building confidence. Go check it out if you haven't.
Yes.
And then someone else who listened to that podcast got inspired enough to reach out to you, which is going outside her comfort zone to build confidence. And then you two both ended up at a mall in an uncomfortable situation where you were able to rise above it for something greater than oneself, meaning both of you, the team. I always say be a team player because the team's greater than you and it's going to force you to become more as a leader. So many wins came out of you two both being willing to help the other person.
It was just one giant win. And I had somebody say this to me that it was basically like, what you're doing is not normal. And I said, and I quote, if you want normal, find somebody else. Like, I don't care that it's not normal. I don't care. I don't care.
That should be your next meme.
Right?
If you want normal, find somebody else.
That's
awesome.
The ability to literally and figuratively see somebody's mindset change.
Like, before your eyes.
Yeah. Like,
oh, man.
Honestly, man.
Yeah.
I've said this before. Like,
that aha moment of like, this is really happening.
Yeah. It feels so good to help people that want to be helped. It feels so good.
Yep.
It feels so good. So,
and that's the key factor. They want to be helped.
Yeah.
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 We can talk a little bit about that too. So there's a lot of laws of leadership. I've been reading a book by John C. Maxwell. Huge shout out to him. He's one of my favorite authors. It's one of the most famous business books of all time. It's called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And I've been reading this. It's funny that you're doing this while I'm studying leadership, and we literally got together. It was in the gym, and we're like, dude, we should do a podcast episode this weekend. We don't have a guest. We should do a solo episode or one together. And we were like, what should we do it on? And we both were like, leadership. And you were talking about that story that you did on Thursday. I was talking about how I've been studying it. So there's several different laws that you just touched on. One of them is called the law of addition, and it says leaders add value by serving others. And that's sort of what you did. I use a quote called, give more when it hurts, and you'll become more when it's over. It was uncomfortable for you to go out of your comfort zone and talk to strangers in front of her. So you gave, but you were giving to her because she wanted to see that you were doing that, and then you became more from it. And now you're less afraid and more confident.
It's far less uncomfortable when the person with you is, like, you would never run through fire just for fun.
Yeah.
But you would to save somebody. Like, that's kind of what it is. And obviously, it's not nearly to that degree. So,
but that's an excellent point, right? Your reason was big enough
my
to
why
go
power
and do
was her.
That. Yeah.
She was my why power for doing the 100%, and because I knew it would help grow me.
We say why power all the time. We should talk about that a little bit. Because why power is a lot about leadership. So if you consider yourself a leader, which I recommend everyone does, because you are to some extent. If you're a parent, if you're a sibling, if you're even, you know, if you're a teacher, if you have friends.
If you talk to another human being,
then you're a leader
on a daily basis.
To some extent.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's such a good point. Yeah. Well put. So if you see yourself as a leader, you're more likely to act accordingly. And it's your responsibility. You do influence the people around you, 100%. We all know that. We say it all the time. You're the sum average of the five people you spend the most time with. So everyone listening to this podcast, you have five people that closely associate with you who are very strongly influenced by you. And then those people are influencing five other people, and it spreads outward. So you have this ripple effect of either positive or negative. And when you see yourself as a leader, you're more likely to act accordingly. So one thing that I wanted to say was you are basically, it's your, as soon as you take ownership of being a leader, you sort of kind of see yourself as someone who it's your responsibility to have courage and to do things that are going to help other people. And when that reason is bigger than yourself, you sort of have more incentive to do things like you said you normally would not do.
It's almost, honestly, it was almost an obligation. Like, I almost felt like I need to do this.
For the other person.
For the other person.
Tony Robbins, my hero, has a huge quote that he always uses. He says, "We will do more for others than we will ever do for just ourselves." Like, I would do anything for my friends and family. There's a lot of things that sometimes I wouldn't do for me. And when you start to realize that you're influencing the people around you to a very large extent, that you have an obligation to be at your best self, not only for yourself, but for them, you kind of, with overcoming drinking for me, that was a big one. Like, when I realized that Jenny didn't want me to be that person and that she loved the sober me, it was just extra why power. And she doesn't want me to do it for her. She just wants me to be at my best, and she knows that's what I want. And she even said, like, I want that for you because you want it for you. And that extra incentive, because it makes our relationship better, is what I think made me break through, to be honest.
How do you... So, a lot of times, like, I'll hear... What is, like, the first concrete thing you can do to become a leader?
Decide to be one.
So, it's just basically make the decision that...
Realize you are one, I think, is more than decide to be one. Both.
I see.
They're simultaneous.
I feel like, I think it's easy. So we talk about visualization all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I visualize myself in 10 years being the person I was at the mall yesterday, or Thursday. Being the person who's willing to do the stuff to help people.
Yeah.
But, so in my head, it's like, when I'm at the grocery store, it's important for me to be a certain type of way.
Okay.
It almost like...
Well, you hold yourself to a high standard.
But like, I'm okay. If I want to hang around the house and do nothing and not talk to anybody and be off social media all day, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like, when I'm in public, I try to be the best version of myself, because I know one day when this takes off and people know more of me, more of you, I don't ever want to be a disappointment. I don't ever want somebody to see me in person and be like, he wasn't anything like I expected him to be. And I don't ever plan on that being the case. It probably will be, I'm sure.
Because, in situations.
Yeah, because
based
situations.
Based on their perceptions.
Right. But it's like, that's kind of how, be the hero of your own story. If you're the hero of your own story, you're going to be a leader if you have big goals for yourself, is how I visualize it.
Yeah. So in order to achieve anything on a grand scale, you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. And by doing that, you're going to affect people in a more positive way.
How about this?
Let's do it.
You're evolving as a person, right? So you are your own leader. Realistically.
Yes,
you are
sure.
Your own leader.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you start there. When you say you're going to do something, you have to follow through. Because if you do, you're not leading yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first step. The first concrete step is, what is it that you're not doing that you should? So for instance, we had a gentleman who messaged both of us, comments on the post a lot, Chris, I believe.
Yes.
He was struggling to...
Got a new job.
Yeah, he got a new job. He was struggling to get up early, and now he has a job where he gets up early every single day.
Right.
So...
That's awesome.
He became a leader in his own life. You have to become a leader in your own life...
Before you can ever really lead someone else, at least anywhere good.
And the thing is, it's not hard to start. What is the one thing you're putting off? Is it hitting the snooze button? Is it, you know, sending that letter? Is it sending that email? Do that first, and then prove to yourself that you are a leader.
I got... hit up recently with you know how we always say we're going to get kisses on one cheek, punches on the other? You say that.
Yes.
You say that.
Yes.
I got hit up recently. Someone got very upset with me and said, basically, I reposted something Mel Robbins posted. She had, and it makes me smile because it's such a good meme, if that's what you want to call it. She posted, there are two types of people, and then there's two pictures. One picture is 7:15, 7:30, 7:45, 8 o'clock, and then the other picture is 7:15.
Yeah.
And I reposted that. I said, so true, Mel. Like, thumbs up. And I'm not going to name any names, and this is with nothing but love, but I got hit up with a lot of animosity about that, saying, you don't understand how difficult it is for people, all this stuff. And it's like, listen, I literally said, whatever you're going through, I'm really sorry. I meant nothing personal by it. All I can say is that when you start your day from a place of I want to get up rather than putting it off, you're most likely better off. I didn't say that was easy to do, which maybe my snaps imply that everything's easy. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you'll know that I'm not like, oh, just wake up. It's that easy. You're done. No, it's a process. Fail forward. I can't even tell you how many times I wasn't a morning person until I finally became one. First, it starts with wanting to be one, just like the person you just mentioned, right? He didn't just flip a switch and suddenly he's waking up every day at 4 a.m. You know, it takes time. So anyways, the reason I bring that up is because one thing I want to say about leadership, and I think this is what holds people back the most. If you're going to do anything remarkable, you have to expect it to be remarked upon. Like when someone says something about you behind your back or even to your face.
I love that little saying.
They're making a... In order to do something remarkable, it's the definition of doing something remarkable means it's remarkable. Someone's going to remark upon it. And if you take 100 people in a room, and let's just throw out numbers here, let's say 40 of them, to be conservative, tend to be negative, then at least 40 of the people that see you do what you do, if it was remarkable, are going to remark in a negative way. And so I could take that animosity or the what was taken personally and the negativity towards me and say, okay, well, I shouldn't post things like that anymore. Or I can say, listen, you follow my Snapchat. You do not have to. If it's bothering you, don't follow it. But this is helping people, and it's definitely helping me. And I want to be a leader in this way. And I think that it's easy to always set one alarm and then always get up no matter what? Of course not. I sleep in on accident too. But do I think that's a better way to start your day?
I'll tell you right now, I don't ever sleep in on accident.
You don't sleep in on accident?
No. It's not an accident. I'm conscious of... If I hit my snooze, I'm conscious of it. I'm not one of those people... Okay. I'm not a phantom sleeper who turns my... I'll be honest. No. That's a mistake on my part.
It's a good... Okay, good point.
But doesn't happen
often. I'll change my phrasing. Sleep in when it's like, I mean, some mornings, man, I feel like I got hit by a truck, you know, I forgot to mix my pre-workout the night before and I just worked out a ton or whatever it is. I have a rough morning and I'm just like, you know what, I need a minute, take an extra hour in the morning or whatever it is. So I would consider that an accident. When I say accident, I mean my intention was to wake up on my first alarm and I did not do that, even though I'm conscious of it. Yeah.
But the thing is, man... Yeah, it's not that easy, but like, so do we just not post about it?
Exactly. That's my point. Like, I think one of the biggest things that hold leaders back is when they do stuff that is remarkable and leadership worthy, that takes courage, they get shit on.
Yeah.
And you're gonna get shit on. Like, if you do anything remarkable, people are going to remark upon it. And most of those remarks, half of them at least, will be negative. I always go back to that quote by Wayne Dyer. He says... One of the presidents, I forget which one it was, but it won by a landslide, right? Oh my God, landslide, this American presidency. I forget which president off the top of my head, but they won by 3%.
I remember you told me that.
And it's like, that was a landslide. If you have 53% of the people that actually like you and what you do, you win by a landslide. You know what I mean? If there's 100 people in a room and you're doing something extraordinary out of the box, like some people are absolutely going to shit on it. But there's going to be a lot of people there that are being helped tremendously.
That's it's very interesting to me. Do you what else did they say in that message? Like did, like when they said it's not that easy, like what was
they basically said that you
cuz I want to try to break I want to know, I want to learn this because basically
yeah.
we're going to hear
I tried to all, be as compassionate and kind as sure. I could because I could tell that this person, you know, is struggling with a lot of stuff and I realize that sometimes I do make it seem easier than it is. You know, easier said than done is a saying for a reason. Because
yeah, but you
it's
know what,
easy
man?
To talk about this stuff. It's much harder to do
You
it.
See Tony Hawk riding a skateboard, you don't say, hey man, you shouldn't be that good at riding the skateboard. Like, good for you for practicing it and being that good at it.
Yeah. You mean posting the Mel Robbins thing?
Yeah. Like, if you're that good at getting up where it's easy for you, that's on you. That's a congratulations to you. That should never be taken away from you and yeah. made you feel bad about it. I
hope that it doesn't make others feel bad.
I don't think it does. Look at Jocko. Jocko oh,
yeah.
Willick.
Yeah, yeah.
Every,
love Jocko.
Every day he posts like 3:30
oh,
on
yeah.
his watch.
on his watch,
like,
yeah.
I'm sure he gets yeah. shit for that, but guess what? He's also a savage.
And then he says, unfollow me.
Yeah.
you know?
That's. I mean,
if you
again,
don't like it, you're choosing
right,
to follow
we're
it.
We're not for everybody. And yeah. But you know, who are we for? We're for people who want to do that. If you want to do that, and you sent that message because you're frustrated about it,
yeah.
and you're struggling to do it, that's one thing. That's one thing. But you can do it. You yeah. can. It's not easy. It's not. But nothing is easy at first.
Oh, yeah.
The
for
reason
sure.
we go to the gym every day, and it's an afterthought to yep. me, like, I don't miss the gym because it's just part of my day now.
Perfect example. I did rack pulls for the first time ever today, yeah. and I had to go way down in weight. Matt was lifting more than 2.5 times what I was lifting, and I had to be humble. And he said, dude, this is, let's just practice form. He had to take plates off. You know how demasculating it is when you take 3 plates off each side. So that's 6 total. But it was my first time. And you always suck at first. Everybody does, especially compared to a master. I always go back to this quote. The Rock said this once in an interview, and he said, the greatest masters at their craft always make it look easy, but it's not. And that's how you know they're a master of their craft, when they make it look seamless. You know, when they make it look easy. So that's huge. And dude, I don't actually feel bad for posting the Mel Robbins thing. There's no part of me that feels bad. But there is a part of me that has compassion for people who are in the place where they don't feel like they can accomplish something like
that. I agree. But I think, like you said, the first step in this is proving to yourself that you can do something.
Yeah.
You get up early every day, basically. Almost yeah. every day. 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
I slept yeah. in on yesterday and I got up at 7.
Yeah.
Like that was sleeping in.
Yeah.
I never was that way. In the summer, when I was 12, 13, and 14, I would literally stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning watching Baseball Tonight and sleep till noon every single day. Every single day.
Dude, it's crazy. It's but crazy to think of that.
Again, man, like
I'm I am. Wasting your days.
right? I am not that far away from. I know that mindset. I know the mindset where you're like.
Yeah.
I'm just not that type of person. Like, it takes a different type of person to do that. No, it doesn't.
It takes practice.
Yeah, yeah. It takes practice.
It takes practice.
And practice starts with one attempt. Whatever. Succeed or, quote-unquote, fail.
Yeah.
It's one attempt, and
most
that's what it takes.
Fail.
Most likely fail.
To quote Danielle Murr on the podcast, yeah. she said, crash the plane a few times.
Yeah.
I said that to her recently.
I know,
she
I saw
commented
I saw
on what you did. I love it. Kevin's on top of it. One more law I want to bring up is the law of influence. The true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So you do influence others, and the more you lead yourself by example and you do things outside your comfort zone, the more you're going to grow, and the more you grow, the more you're going to influence others. There's another law in here called the law of respect, and it says people naturally follow leaders stronger than themselves. Now, stronger is sort of like a... It doesn't mean you're better. It just means that you've put in more reps in this particular arena. So with this person that you went to the mall with, you've gone out of your comfort zone with talking to others more than her. So naturally, she was following your lead. Just like with rack pulls, I'm following Matt's lead. He's done them before. Why would I lead the way when he's way better than me at this particular thing? So I think the other key thing about leadership is leaders know when to follow.
Interesting.
So how important.
When, as a leader, when do you follow?
When it's someone who is far beyond your current capability in a given thing. For example, you and I, if we're doing a new lift that I've never done. Matt is a perfect example today
yeah,
during
that
rack
pulls.
It's a perfect example. Like, I literally took the reins, put him on the ground and said, Matt, show me. And I was just listening.
And he has the results.
I was a student. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's kind of easy to follow.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, so I think that's super important. So what about, how about this? We talk about mentors, mm-hmm. and I've heard you say on various occasions about specific people that you said, I don't think that person is a good mentor for you.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, about people in our lives. And yes. How do you tell when it's so... Leaders, right? How do you tell a good leader? How do you know if you really... Like, there's a lot of people that have what I want.
It's a great question.
Right? But do I want to go the route they went? Did they go the right route? Like, how do you figure out how to pick a leader?
So you know how I always say that what you admire, you will tend to act like and then inevitably become? I think you have to be very careful about who and what you admire because it's going to leak into who you are. So, for example, if someone has, what's your favorite car?
Dodge Viper.
Okay. So let's say someone, we'll call him Bob, has a Dodge Viper, but Bob's a, you know,
dickhead.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. Bob's exactly. Bob's a dickhead, but he has a Viper.
Yeah. I punch him
over. Are you going to go do everything Bob does because he has what you want?
I'm going to beat him over the head with something and take his car. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. No.
Both of you are poor leaders in that case.
Well,
but that's my point, right? So, also be careful who you, just like you should be careful who you surround yourself with, be extra careful about who you admire, like your heroes, and then be even more careful of your mentors, because it's very difficult for us to compartmentalize in our subconscious. So let me try to bring that down to earth, because I know that sounds a little hocus pocus. I have a mentor where there are a lot of things that I value and that I want to internalize that I want to take from that. And I think this person's an amazing person, and I think that's the foundation of any strong mentor. So first and foremost, let me just bring this to ground here for the listeners. If you have a mentor, the most important thing, in my opinion, is that that mentor needs to have your best interest at heart regardless of themselves and vice versa, because otherwise they're always going to steer you in the direction they want you to go rather than the direction you want to go, which also happens often in corporate America, by the way. Because bosses tend to be mentors, and those bosses have literal incentives to get you to do what they want you to do, not what you want to do. So just for a mentor, it needs to be that symbiotic relationship of you both have each other's best interest at heart, regardless of each other.
I like that.
That's number one. Number two, they need to be what you consider to be an admirable person. And I think that that's huge and trustworthy as well. Because if they are not, those qualities are likely to rub off on you unintentionally. For example, Bob has a Viper, but he's a dickhead. You know, let's say he made money in a certain way, excuse me, to get that Viper. You could say, okay, I'm going to figure out how he did it and do it the way he did it, but I'm not going to be a dickhead. You'll end up probably being more of a dickhead. Here's a perfect example. I love the show House.
Too much.
House MD.
Too much.
I literally love that. I'm addicted to that show. House is very smart, and I value that. Intelligence. He's very analytical. He diagnoses the problem, figures out why it is, and then fixes it, right? So I love all that. But House is a dick. When I watch House, I am telling you right now, I am more of a dick. 100%. That is hard to admit to myself, but it's true. I notice it. I literally notice it. So whatever you expose yourself to, you're going to become more of, especially if you admire it, because a lot of it's subconscious. So
I have been thinking... So it's funny. I think I'm a good leader from the aspect of I do what I'm going to say. I do what I say I'm going to do, right? And I think I'm pretty reliable when it comes to like, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, right? So I have been thinking a lot lately, like a lot. I think a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And one something.
Especially these days.
Right? I was talking to a young lady like a year ago and she said, you know what, Kevin, you just think too much. And I was like, no, maybe you don't think enough. And obviously you don't speak anymore. the point I'm making is, like, I do think a lot.
You're a philosophizer.
But I think of something, and then I think of that something, and then I think of the root of that something.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with leadership.
No, it does. It absolutely does.
I don't know if it does.
I can tie it into leadership.
Well,
everything
I'm sure you can
leadership.
Tie anything to anything. Yes. You're a knotsman.
a knotsman? Yeah. Is that a word?
No, I made it.
Oh, okay.
It's mine now. It is now.
Webster would be pissed.
But I feel like that's something, like, also, this is totally, I'm not even going to try to connect it to leadership, but make sure that, like, when people do give you that hard love that we were talking about, that you got, that you don't always listen to them.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not going to change my ways based on it. But that doesn't mean that I can't understand.
Right, but it's like, imagine if I started questioning myself. I'm like, well, do I think too much? Maybe I do think too much. That's why I'm anxious, and that's why I'm, you know, I'm sure that has something to do with it. But it also has helped me cement certain ideas in my head that I never knew existed because I thought enough and deep enough. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, if I listened to that person, what would have happened? Like, would I be the same person I was today? Probably not.
So I can hammer this to leadership.
Hammer
for
it.
Sure.
Hammer it.
So one of the greatest leaders, arguably, in the last
are you gonna say
century?
Hitler.
No, oh. Absolutely not.
No, no I mean from fucking... a... No, no, but like... All right. That's, no, I mean bad leadership.
Oh, he was a strong leader, but in the worst
right.
way.
Yeah,
in
I'm not...
The worst
I way. Come on, yeah, yeah. Take it easy.
No, I was going to quote Churchill, uh-oh. Which it's fascinating that we both went to the same era yeah. because Churchill overcame Hitler during World War II.
I was going
to
say that earlier, that so, like, wasn't Adolf Hitler known as like... I've heard that a lot. Like, he was a good leader, obviously in the worst way.
Yeah, the worst
and
way.
And tying that back to the Terrence episode... You can be a really good leader
in the worst way.
In the worst way.
Yeah, that's an extreme, extreme example of that. And it's also called the law of magnetism. Magnetism. Who you are is who you attract. So Hitler attracted a lot of other horrible people.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's
but,
scary.
But he led himself by, like, I don't want to talk about Hitler
yeah, yeah,
anymore.
No.
He's the fucking worst.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Winston Churchill, to segue,
yeah,
had an amazing quote that correlates to what you were just saying. To change is to improve. To change often is to perfect. So when someone reaches out to you and says you think too much, you think you don't because every time you're thinking, you're connecting new dots and then you're changing your character and your behavior and your habits and your actions and your everything. You're changing a lot. And that comes with growing pains and anxieties and stress, but it's how you get better. So that person who's saying you think too much is probably resting wherever they are. And if that's their choice, that's fine. But don't do that if that's not what you want, you know? Because if you want to grow, you're going to have to think. You're just going to just grow on your own. Like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, what do we do every time we do this podcast? We're thinking.
Oh,
we're making new connections.
So many thoughts. And we're thinking hard before and hard after. Because
oh, yeah.
it's again... This is a lifestyle. The
brain's a muscle.
Yeah.
We are expanding our consciousness literally every time. And the consciousness of every listener. Beautiful thing.
We did, Andrew and I, shout out to Cope Daddy. I was on the Cope Daddy podcast.
Cope Daddy.
3 hours we did.
Oh, wow.
And it was the first time I've done.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, that was. But honestly, man, I probably could have done another five. I felt good.
It's because you're conditioned.
I am conditioned now.
Conditioned.
For to talk.
To talk.
Minus talking about Hitler. Sorry. That wasn't...
Dude, don't worry about it.
No, but you...
It's
like,
a good... I know exactly what you're saying.
I want to know.
And it goes along with
it.
Like, be careful what you admire, right? Because
yeah.
I'm sure there were people who followed his leadership that ended up letting that rub off on them in the wrong way. So if you do have mentors in your life, make sure that they're good in all the ways. And again, I have six self-made millionaire mentors at this point that I'm very close with and I can text them. They'll text me back on my phone. So that's, you know, the level we're at. And I know them all in person. I don't agree with everything they say. Be a good student. Don't be a follower. Like, make sure everything, this is a Jim Rohn quote. I want to give him credit. Make sure everything you do is the result of your own conclusion. Me, Kevin, Matt, and Nate have a mastermind that we're doing every Monday night at 9:00. One of the things that I said on the call is, listen, we are here to be friends first, and we can give each other's perspective. But at the end of the day, we got to do what's in our own heart. And here's why, and this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say on leadership in this whole episode. If it's not in your heart, you will not follow through. And if you do not follow through, it doesn't mean shit. You can know what to do all day, but if you don't do it, it doesn't matter.
Knowing and doing, two different things.
Implementation is the game. And if Kevin tells me to do something and it's not congruent with who I am and my highest values, who I am right now, who I want to be, then I'm not going to follow through. And if I'm not going to follow through, it doesn't help anyone, including me.
That's such a difficult... That's why I go back to, like, it's amazing helping people that want to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like you said it before, you only try to help somebody if you know they're looking for help.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there, I think, that are the opposite. They want help, but they convince themselves that they don't. They've convinced themselves that that's not the way, or I'm not that type of person. It's like, no, you can be whatever type of person you want to be.
Yeah.
Surround yourself with those type of people and you will be.
That quote's great. You can be whatever type of person you want to be.
You can.
We all have limiting beliefs that hold us back. One of them that's very common is, I'm just not a morning person. No, you're not a morning person. You just haven't typically woken up in the morning. You're not a procrastinator. You just have a habit of procrastination.
How about this?
You know?
Andrew and I were talking about this. You can attest to this 100%, I guaranteed. It amazes me to see people on the internet like hammer full bottles of vodka. Why does that blow my mind? Because I can't do that. Could I do that? 100%. If I drank for the rest of the year, guaranteed I could.
Oh, yeah. If you practice.
Anything that you do is a learned behavior.
Yep.
That's it. Like, that's basically, me and Andrew were talking about that on the podcast. Like, hey, he said that. He's like, I used to be able to drink this. Like, that's how low I was. I was drinking that every night. And I was like, could you do that now? And he was like, no.
Yeah.
And no. I said, you
were conditioned.
Why?
You were training.
Exactly.
He was training for that.
That was a habit.
Yeah.
Just like waking up is a habit. Just like going to the gym is a habit. Just like approaching people is a habit.
Believe it or not, not going to the gym is a habit. Not waking up early is a habit.
Yeah.
It's everything you do and everything you don't do, you need to take full responsibility for. And that's the start of leadership right there. Is like, Terrence said this, own your own time. Like, you can not like someone all day, but if you're still spending time with them, then it's your fault. It's your fault.
Yeah.
You know? It's huge. Yeah. One more thing that I wanted to say too, to piggyback on what you said about like when someone drinks a full bottle of
anything.
Jack Daniels on the internet, which is blows my mind. I don't follow anyone like that, so I don't see that.
I
have seen it before and gone, geez,
yeah, man.
They take the seal off and
it's a whole thing.
How are you not dead? Like,
yeah.
That's alcohol poisoning waiting to happen. But anyways, Brad talked about this too. When we talked about our struggles with addiction, we talked about how we worked really hard without knowing it to get to a point where it actually was a problem. You know, you work your way up to that. It's the frog in the pot of boiling water. Throw him in the pot of boiling water, it'll jump right out because it's hot. But if you slowly bring it to a boil, eventually he gets cooked. That's our habits over time. That's why the Hyperconscious podcast is so critical, because we're conscious of all of our thoughts and all of our actions. So we're not going to fall victim to half the shit that we used to fall victim to before we became hyperconscious and started thinking all the time.
And you got to think. I think of this, like, the way I was raised affects a lot of the way, like, a lot of the things I do.
Mm, totally.
I don't eat at the kitchen table anymore because we stopped doing that when I was growing up. And it's like,
that's also...
Really, really thinking of why you're doing what you're doing.
Oh, it's critical.
Do you have an aversion to doing this?
Right.
Why, though? Because you just, that's the way you were brought up, and that's something you never practiced.
Yeah.
It's super simple to just try it once and see what happens. If you get a different result that's better, then you can try it again, you can try it again, you can try it again.
Until you know why something is the way it is, you don't really have the power to change it. So we had that conversation on one of the episodes where you wanted to go boxing, but you weren't.
The Q&A, I believe.
No. So we did it.
Oh, no.
It was in my room.
Yes.
It was Fail Forward. Micro Failures for Macro Success.
Yes.
If you haven't listened to that episode, definitely do
that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Very good one. Critical notion. But we talked in that one about how you definitely want to go box, but you aren't.
Yes.
And so we dug deep right then and there.
Oh, yeah.
In real time. Like, why aren't you doing that? And since then, how many times have you sparred?
Once.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be more than one.
No, dude, honestly, but still. I've done boxing far less since then.
Okay, why?
Because I'm doing the cut. I'm in a cut now, and I'm prepping for the photo shoot.
But you did go spar.
I did spar.
You reached out to Omar like you said you were going to,
and you
went and sparred.
Yeah, I ended up sparring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But then shortly thereafter, you were like, oh, I'm doing a photo shoot on whatever, the 20th.
20th, yeah.
And I said, oh, can I get in on that?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah. So again, and I haven't really had the itch to spar either.
Okay. Why?
Because my why power is in this photo shoot.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like, I don't really, I'm.
Your focus is elsewhere.
My focus is really
good. And is that a good thing?
That's
the critical question.
I would say so,
okay,
for sure.
Okay, perfect.
Because boxing is an infinite thing. It's going to be there when I'm ready.
We also talked about CTE, the potential dangers of your brain, and you value your brain arguably now more than ever.
Oh, for sure.
So I think that that's a huge aversion. And I don't think that's a wrong one. Like, dude, if I was doing MMA, I put it this way, I wouldn't, because I know that my highest value is my intelligence. And I know, you know, I watched a TED Talk recently on brain damage and the, you know, exposure over time of hard hits to the head and what that does to you in the long term. I want my brain to get better, not worse. So I think that's another thing with you too. I noticed that a little
bit.
It
probably is.
When we talked about it, I was like, oh, he's definitely afraid of
it. It goes back to like...
Understandably so.
Yeah. When we were talking about... When I said like, oh, I'll outwork you because that's kind of like, that was always my way in.
Mm.
My way in was just super, super hard work ethic and perseverance. That was my way into most of the rooms I got into. The problem is that that can be a negative thing. When
you're all in is when getting you're hit all, in the head.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
And like you're too, not for lack of better terms, you're too stupid to quit.
Well, your number one priority has been the podcast, and you need your brain for that more so than ever, and anything
and
you've
time.
Ever done, and time.
I need the time that I have for this.
Another thing about leadership, bring it back to leadership, keeping the main thing. It's called the law of priorities. It's right here. I only have 13. I only have 13 written.
13 of the 21.
The law of priorities, I think, is number 15. I read the book earlier today, and the law of priorities was on there. But anyways, the law of priorities is basically keeping the main thing. I think one of the biggest causes of quote-unquote long-term failure for people is they don't know what their main thing is. Like, I have a flashcard in my pocket that says my big three, and I do most 99% of my day is focused on those three things and nothing else. And that's why I want to be world-class in those three things, you know?
Well, tying that back to leadership, I learned... at your speech in Boston, basically, well, not necessarily from there. I think I take it from Matt. Like you said the other day, write down a list of what you're going to do. Like, what are you supposed to do today? Write down that list.
Totally.
The reason, so I think Matt is a good leader.
100%. That's a great leader.
Why wouldn't I look at what he does and take things from it?
Oh, you definitely should.
That's what I did. Okay, write down what you're going to do for the day. Usually I don't do it. I'm kind of like a freestyle. I know what I have to get done. I like to just do it the way I want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes longer than it should because of it. So I wrote down everything, and I had everything done by like noon or by 1.
Dude, you were killing it.
And then I was able to do extra stuff.
The other day, I think it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we had already lifted. I think I got a massage. It's a tough life, but somebody's got to live it. And you texted me all the stuff that you got done.
Yeah.
You were absolutely killing it. I was with Jenny, and I'm like, oh my God, like Kevin's killing it. And then I got home, it was like 1 o'clock, and you had done something else. And I was like, dude, I'm just trying not to eat my own arm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in photo shoot or show prep right now, 3 weeks out. And you were crushing it, man. You think that's the new system?
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you were the person who used to say, oh, I'm kind of a free spirit. Like, I'm flexible. That's all. And you can choose to be that way, but don't choose that until you try both.
Well, see, the reason is, like, the Bruins are on. I love hockey.
Oh, yeah.
So come 7 o'clock, I don't want to be working anymore.
Yeah. We'll talk about why power.
The issue is before I would freestyle it and it'd be 9 o'clock and I was okay with working until 10 or 11. But now I don't want to do that.
That's really cool that you just did that. So I bet you've had times where you have a time limit to get into the gym. You got to get in and get out within an hour. Do you get good workouts when that happens?
I would say the majority of the time I think I get better workouts.
Me too. Okay. So I'm glad that you said that. So there's a law. And I'm going to butcher the title. You know how I always talk about Pareto in like the 1895 or the Pareto principle, the 80-20. This is also from Tim Ferriss's book. Tim Ferriss talks about Pareto principle and one other. I think it's called Parkinson's Law. I could be wrong. It begins with the P. Anyways, the point is that basically the law states that the amount of time that it takes to accomplish a certain task will be directly correlated to the amount of time allocated. Which is why it's so critical to have your own deadlines. Like if you say, I have my top three most valuable priorities every day that I write down. If I say I have to get at least one of these three done today, then you are much more likely to be more efficient in the time that you use. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Okay, yeah. So like, when, for example, to bring it back to the gym, there have been times when I've been in the gym for 3 hours, but I was kind of like on my phone in between, doing social media, doing this work, like texting back people, all that stuff. Versus today, what I've been trying to do is increase the intensity and density of my workouts while I'm focusing on strength training. And I've found that I'm getting better workouts in shorter amounts of time. Now, obviously, there's a place where, you know, when you go 15 minutes, you're not going to crush it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be super hard to get everything you need.
But like, I would rather get a highly intense, dense workout of 1 hour than a 3 hour spotty.
You ready for an analogy?
Let's
go. Just popped right in my head. I don't know. Again, analogies are tricky because you don't know how they're going to come out.
Fucking hammer it.
So how do you create fire with a magnifying glass?
Oh, I love it. Like, so
focusing. All that focus is in one spot.
That's a great analogy.
But that's, if it's not turned the right way and the focus is off, it does nothing. Literally nothing. It will not create smoke. It'll do nothing.
It'll do heat. A little bit
of heat. Yeah, a little bit of heat, but not enough to move the meter.
Into one. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Not enough to get what you want done.
That's super important.
Yeah, man.
And that's also the single tasking. Leaders are able to focus on. There's another law that has to do with single tasking.
All these laws are 13 and on that you don't have written down.
I know, right? Let me see if I got it. The law of priorities is definitely one of them. There's another one. It's either the law of concentration. I should have written this down. But the point is that basically chase two rabbits, catch neither.
I've noticed that. Again, this is definitely since the meeting or since your speech. I think was it Steve Ryder?
It was Steve Ryder. Yeah. He teaches Quantum Leap and The One Thing.
Yeah.
And that's his thing. He's a single tasking boss.
Because he said that. He's like, everybody in this room thinks they can multitask. And none of you can.
None of you can.
Yeah, none of you can.
Yeah.
And I know that for sure because
it's the human brain. You only have one primary focus.
Do you ever get in that state where you're doing four things at once and none of them well?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's frustrating.
That's how you get overwhelmed too, by the way, which also immobilizes you.
Well, we do that every time we get together.
Yeah.
We're researching and looking at old reps and we're getting overwhelmed, crying
and
in
then
the corner.
Stagnate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, oh. Everything's good. Everything's good in that regard for us.
You think you single task more than you used to?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I won't lie. It's hard because I like to be able to be reached during the day. But I also think, again, the cell phone is the weapon of mass distraction. Like, it really...
Oh, I know.
Dude, I'm definitely getting better with it, but some days I'll just... Dude, some days you just end up on your phone.
I know.
And it's like...
Especially when your work is correlated to the phone.
Yeah.
It makes it very challenging.
Like, I'm scrolling Instagram to see, like, oh, what color scheme did I use on my last post?
Yeah.
And then like, next thing I know, yeah, Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how I got there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I did.
Wait, 15 minutes later. Oh, geez. All right. Tough. I was supposed to work.
That's tough.
So here's another quote from Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. Shout out to you, Tim. You have an amazing podcast. He basically says in his book, you can afford the 5-minute interruption. You can afford the 5 minutes, but you can't afford the interruption. In other words, apparently the neuroscience shows, and don't quote me on the time here, but I think it's around 20 minutes. Apparently the neuroscience shows that it takes approximately 15 to 20 minutes to re-immerse yourself in a single task. I was on a walk with Jenny earlier today, and she said that her roommate, Brittany, she gets up for work way earlier than Jenny does. She gets up at like 7, showers, and leaves. Jenny usually gets up by like 8:30 and leaves by, I think, 9 or maybe earlier, but later than Brittany. I'm always downstairs in the living room doing my morning rituals, writing out my flashcard, writing out the 21-year irrefutable laws of leadership. I don't do that every morning, it's actually 12.
I'm sorry.
But like I'm studying, right? I have my leadership books. I'm always studying. I'm on my phone. I'm doing my morning thing. And Jenny told me today on the walk that Brittany said, Alan is so immersed in his work, he never even looks up to say goodbye. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She was wearing a sundress the other morning. And I said, Brittany, you look so pretty. And she smiled. And we had like a moment, you know? And she's like, no. She did mention that. But she said that you're usually so immersed in your work. And I'm like, honestly, that's what it takes. That's also why I love the early mornings, because there's no distractions.
Yeah, dude. I explained it to somebody the other day. I think I explained it to Copeland. I was like, dude, when you go to the gym in the morning, it's quiet. Like the surroundings, the mentality, the energy in the room is just quiet. Nobody's there to bullshit.
No one's there to fuck around.
Yeah.
Dude, you don't get up at 5 a.m. to just dilly-dally. So it's a different, isn't it great?
Yeah, I love
it. Dude, it's so good. Everyone in there, as soon as like 10 a.m. rolls around, if I am still in the gym or whatever doing cardio, people start like looking around and dilly-dallying. They're on their phone and it leaks. It rubs off on us. We're all environmental creatures. When you're in the gym at 5 a.m., everybody in there is there to crush it and it will affect your workout. Thinking that it won't is called naive.
I agree.
Yeah, man.
I agree. I love the morning, the early morning thing. I never was a fan of it until I did it for more than a week. And then I realized, oh, okay, you know what? It has tons of benefits. Having everything you need to have done by like 1 o'clock and then realizing...
Ooh, best feeling in the world.
Yeah. And then realizing, oh, guess what? I can... we're way behind on YouTube. I can do this and get something extra done today.
Extra.
And
all
I
gravy,
think,
baby.
I think that... But doesn't that all go back to like... I want to be the best version of me for
Hell
many
yes.
reasons.
Oh,
and that pillars off into... so I can be a good leader. So I can be the most successful version of myself. So I can be the healthiest version. So I can be this,
wealthiest.
Right? The wealthiest, the healthiest, all of that, the happiest.
Yep.
That all started with something. That all started with me realizing, oh, I'm living below my standards. Mm. I'm living below my potential. I was actually living at my standards at the time.
Yeah, your standards, right? Your potential.
Yep. So I think get something on your lip.
I got a little something.
Oh, no, you're good now.
Okay.
It's in your mouth now.
my lips are very chapped.
Forever
lately.
Gone. You got to drink that water, dog.
You're
hammering that hot chocolate over there.
No, I put water in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You hammered that hot chocolate.
Keep
first
going time. On that thought, though.
Huh? So that all started with something. That all started with you realizing, maybe I'm not where I want to be. And I feel like most people come across that at some point in their life, right?
Yeah, either that or they kind of are learn how to be okay with what is. You're either going to learn how to level up or learn how to be okay with what is.
I feel like...
But only one of them is going to make you like fulfilled.
I'm really trying to think to myself, what got me out of that? Because I know that there's that disconnect between like, you guys do it, you didn't do it, but now you do it.
That's why I think you're such living, breathing proof of the positive benefits of this podcast.
I agree.
And dude, anyone in my life has seen how much I've leveled up.
Right, right.
You know, we've changed tremendously.
I think you ultimately, I always say this, you ultimately realize, when you realize you're in control of your life.
Yeah.
And like, you can, if I do this, if I post this podcast thing today, if I do yoga, yoga's the biggest thing for me because I don't like doing it. Yeah. I really don't enjoy it that much.
Therefore, it requires self-discipline.
It requires self-discipline. Yeah. But what I always tell myself is, dude, you're going to thank yourself for doing it. You're to thank yourself for... Last night, man, I'm laying in bed at 11:30, tired. Yeah. I do not want to post on Instagram. I don't. And I said, what are you going to think of when you wake up in the morning? And you're like, fuck. You should have just done it last night.
Yeah.
It's like, I really, really, really have high standards for myself.
Yeah.
I make sure that I am leading myself, I'm leading my life in the best possible direction. Because why? I am the reason I will succeed or fail.
Yeah,
I cannot blame this on somebody else.
Yeah.
I cannot put this on somebody else's shoulders. It's my fault and my fault alone. And if you're not at that point yet, that's fine because I wasn't at that point for 27 years.
How did you get to that point though? Because I think that's critical. I think taking responsibility
vision.
For your life
vision.
Is...
Vision. 100% vision. I remember when I called you from that hotel room on my wit's end saying, Alan, I am losing my mind. I cannot do this. I am struggling right now.
Yeah.
My vision was I was locked in that room. I was locked in that job. I was locked in the travel. I was locked in missing important activities. I was locked in all of that. The vision that I had when I figured out like this could be a thing. When Andrew said, you could just do that. You could podcast
and this
for a living.
Yeah, of course
I
you can.
Immediately
you know how many
changed,
people podcast for a
right?
living?
There's I immediately changed my mentality.
Yeah.
I needed that hard talk. And I needed that hard vision, the hard realization that what you're doing is just what you're doing. It doesn't have to be what you're doing forever.
Yeah.
It just seems that way because you don't have anything else to look forward to. Yesterday on Snapchat, I posted a little video where I was just saying, like, everybody wants happiness. Happiness is what everybody, like, I just want to be happy. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be happy. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Find something you love and make constant, consistent progress towards it.
Oh,
I guarantee,
I saw that snap.
I guarantee
I
you'll
that
be happy.
Yeah, making progress towards something that you value.
That's what happiness
that has
is
value for others.
To me.
Yeah.
To me. I don't know if it's like that for everybody.
I think so. I do actually think that's how humans are wired. To work towards something that you value very highly, that also adds value to others, that you're compensated for, that's a big part of happiness. Happiness is something that it's weird because we talk about the pursuit of happiness and that's in the Declaration of Independence and that's the whole thing. But I really think that happiness is more of like a byproduct of our actions. Like I think that sort of like laughing, like I could fake a laugh right now and then maybe eventually it'll lead to a real laugh. But like I'm faking laugh.
That's a great little thing.
Happiness needs to end soon. So there's a book, A Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. I talk about this book all the time.
Yes, you do.
He talks about how laughter and happiness are very similar. Like you are a certain way, like you're very playful, so am I. We both love humor, and I love your sense of humor. It's amazing.
I appreciate that.
I really do. It's fucking amazing. And like those gut-wrenching laughs that are like, I can't even hold them back.
Oh, those
favorite. Aren't like the fake, like, ha-has. Yeah. Those are like the, oh my fucking God, like I'm just so happy. That's kind of how happiness is too. So instead of chasing happiness, sort of chase purpose, and happiness will come.
So going back, and that's a great point, going back to how do you figure out like you're in control of your life? We were saying this earlier, and I know we've been jumping around, but I feel
it's
like
it's all leadership based though.
But also when we're with guests, it's super important for us to be able to allow them to tell their stories.
For sure.
So I think on the in-between episodes, it's important for us to, if you have any tidbits or anything you've learned or any humdingers, I think it's important to get them out.
Oh, totally.
We had one earlier where I said, Alan, remember how you told the story of when you got in the car accident, that big jacked up truck you went head on?
Yeah.
And you thought you were going to die?
Yep.
I think that the reason living through a life or death experience changes people, and this is totally just me spitballing, is because it's one of the only times you ever truly lived in the moment where you thought about nothing else,
but
and you
moment.
Realized, wow, if I went right now, if this was it, this was the last thing I remembered, I would have all of this attached to it.
Yeah.
This unhappiness, this not enoughness, this whatever it is.
Regret.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I have that flashcard in my pocket of the top five regrets of the dying. Because that car accident, I had that, like, I would have died with regret. And I'm now living in a way that I will never die with regret.
Right. Right. Like, I've said that before. I've had people say, like, you changed my life, or you're the reason I'm alive. And it's like, so theoretically, if I went now, I'm living my purpose. Maybe I don't have the nice car I want eventually, or maybe I was never able to go to the supermarket and buy the Christmas list for a single mom or a single dad. I will do that eventually.
Mm.
But I am doing what I am made to do, just on a different scale. So theoretically, if I went now, what more can I really ask for?
Yeah, man.
Really.
Which is, I think, fulfillment.
Yeah.
I think you just described fulfillment.
I feel the most fulfilled I've ever felt.
Oh, dude. Good.
For sure.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Me too.
For sure.
Me too, man.
For sure.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's been, it's weird because it's like, it's been tough. Like, growing pains are a real thing. I talked to Jenny about this recently. Like, any changes you make have a transition period. She really wants to, like, start getting really in shape. She wants to do all these other things. She's vlogging now. It's all awesome. It's a lot of change at once. She threw a lot of variables into the mix at once.
Which you should check. Do we plug that already? I'm sure we did. But if you didn't hear that episode, I don't know her name on YouTube.
Jen X Brooks.
Yes.
So JennxBrook.
Her first vlog
awesome.
Was better than anything we've ever done.
Yeah,
so we'll just leave that there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you should definitely check that out.
Definitely. She's so good. She's working on day two right now as well. And I think she might want to vlog my fitness show.
Yes.
So that'll be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
But yeah, she's amazing at everything. Where was I going with that? We were talking recently. Oh, she threw a lot of stuff into her life all at once.
Yeah.
And she's also trying to create new long-lasting friendships. So she's leveling up in all these ways. But I'm like, babe, like, give yourself a break.
Yeah, it takes time.
You threw a whole lot at once. I gave her a 3-hour lecture the other night on the 5 pillars of natural fitness and all that stuff. And she took that so well. But she's basically trying to do everything at once. You're trying to eat the whole whale whole rather than chunking it up into these little baby steps. You know, you really do want to level up incrementally, but your vision should be large. Clouds
well,
and dirt.
As a good leader, you'll throw that visualization out there that, like, I told you, I want a studio.
Yeah.
This year, I want a studio.
I fucking love it.
Right? So if
we already started talking about how to make that dream into a reality.
So if I was the leader, say I'm the leader of the Hyperconscious Podcast company, but say it's bigger. There's a bunch of people that work for it.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah, and I say, guys, I'm going to get us a studio.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I am acting now. I am acting like everybody depends on it because I am everybody. You are everybody.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's connected. We all depend on each other.
We depend on it.
We did that. This is another thing of leadership. Leaders decide. We decided in 2018 we're going to do 52 podcasts this year, one per week. Dude, we're doing that.
I think we're on 21.
We're ahead of schedule.
I think we're on 21.
But we've got a few in the tank waiting to go.
I wrote it down. Wherever,
Either way, are we on schedule or ahead of schedule?
I think we're ahead of schedule.
Okay, well, I like that.
Yeah.
So,
Real quick.
Yeah, no, hammer it.
And when we made that, we were like, oh, we'll just have to do one a week, right? But now we're doing like 3 a week on certain weeks.
Yeah.
And we're still doing the one a week.
Yeah.
So since we set that intention, we wanted to hit it so badly that we completely changed the way we thought.
Yeah.
It went from 52 is good, we'll just do one a week,
yeah,
to now It's like our standard raised. Since our standard raised, that one a week is a guarantee. No matter what, we're doing one a week. Everything else is extra. Yep. That's like me saying, look, no matter what, I'm hitting the gym. I'm hitting the gym no matter what.
Yeah. Everything how long else, I go is the variable. Yeah. How intense I get is the variable.
Yeah, that's all the variables.
Yeah, man.
We are going to do 52.
Yeah.
We're most likely going to do 72.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it's going to be above. But it wouldn't be if we didn't set that intention. So what does a good leader do? They set
goals.
Give yourself a goal to shoot for.
Yeah, man.
If you want to lose, there's a big difference between losing weight and losing 15 pounds so you can fit into the bikini that you just bought.
Oh, I know. Which one is a bigger why, Power? To circle back to Jenny, she actually recently showed me her dream physique, and I said, print that out, put it on your mirror. And I said, based on what I know of natural fitness, your physique and her physique, you absolutely can do this. But babe, I'm going to be honest, it's going to take 2 to 3 years. And she's like, oh, really, 2 to 3 years? I'm like, yeah, but you can do it. You definitely can do it, and I'll show you how. These are the 5 tools that you got to leverage. You got to be consistent. I gave her a whole thing. But now that she has that vision, now it actually is attainable. Whereas the moment before that vision was a reality, there was no chance. Brian Tracy talks about this. All leaders have clarity. They have clear, concise goals that are like, you're not just drifting around. You have a very clear goal. He says this. He says, remember when you were a kid and you wanted to drive a certain car? And you wanted to visit certain places, and you eventually wanted to like have your license and have a house or an apartment and have like, he basically says all of those things came true. You now have a car. You now do have your license. You now do live in an apartment or a house. Like he says, our visions come true eventually. We just don't set them intentionally.
That is a great quote,
right? Brian Tracy is amazing, man.
I have never ever thought of that.
Isn't it crazy?
There's
so many things that at one point were just a thought.
Well, the thing is, man, you're in the room. Everybody's in the room with somebody who has a place to live, pretty much.
Yeah.
Right? Like, basically.
But I mean, when we were a kid, that's what we dreamed of. We dreamed of, yeah.
But that, in America, or not even in America, in the rooms we're in,
yeah,
that's the average. The average is everybody has a place to live.
Yeah.
Everybody has some sort of job. Everybody has this. Everybody has that.
Not everybody, but most people.
Most people.
Most people, yeah.
You know, growing up, when I was in the room with people that we're middle class, basically, right?
Yeah, so, lower middle class.
But imagine if you grew up as Usher's kid, where the people you hung out were next level all the time.
Yeah.
You were always in... I think that's your standards. That's what your standards are. If you... How am I trying to word this? So most people want that. They say, I'm going to visualize this house and the family and this, and you get it.
Oh, yeah.
But what if... Instead, you were visualizing that mansion that you want now.
Then it would eventually still happen.
Right.
So the thing that, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Tracy says this. He says the problem with the goals isn't that we're not achieving them. It's that we're setting them too low. And we're not setting them clearly enough. They're usually vague. Like people saying, oh, I want to be healthy. What does that even mean? Like, are you not healthy now? And if so, are you measuring it? Like, okay, on a scale from 0 to healthy... Right? Healthy being a 10, what are you? And if you ask them, they're like, 6? It's like, okay, what's it going to take to get to a 7? They don't have an answer. Of course you're not. There's no, it's not a measurable thing. Peter Drucker, what gets measured gets managed. 52 podcasts in 1 year, it's very easy to tell whether or not we're on track.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's week 20, whatever, and we have 21. It's easy to track. Kevin and I track every single day how many listens.
Yeah.
Your critical numbers are key, man. Life is a numbers game. If you want to do 52 podcasts this year, you got to figure out how many you've done.
You want to be a good leader. Be the leader in your life.
Yeah, the hero of your own story.
That's the take. It's funny because we always start, when we start the podcast, it's always one thing.
Yeah.
And there's always like a takeaway that I get. And that's the takeaway is like, if you want to be a good leader, you got to lead yourself first.
You got to.
And why? Because that makes you believe in what you're doing.
Mm.
That's belief, man. I'm telling you right now. I'm in such a weird spot mentally, and I really want people to know, like, when we first started talking and I was talking about belief, I didn't have nearly the level of belief I have now.
Oh, I know.
Nearly the level of the visualization I have now. You know what I mean? So, like, the people that have been with us from the beginning, I guarantee you're starting to think differently. I don't see how you wouldn't if you're in these conversations with us.
You're in these rooms with us.
Yeah,
really.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. And whatever that thought is, no matter how crazy it seems, just think about it a little more.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just think about it
keep
a little
thinking
more.
About
and
it,
if somebody tells you think too much, tell him to suck your butter, boy. Because you don't.
Because you don't.
You don't.
What are we doing on time?
We'll do like 10 minutes left.
10 more minutes? Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on as well is the law. So we talk about this all the time. The law of the inner circle.
Oh, yeah.
And basically it says leaders. It says who you are is who you attract. That's the law of magnetism. I'm sorry. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him or her. So I talked to Jenny recently. She wants to be more fitness-oriented. And I told her, I said, babe, why not surround yourself? Like, without you, Nate, Matt, Copeland, like the people who are super into fitness, like it would be much more difficult for me to be at my best. I said, why not create new associations in addition to your current ones that are much more fitness oriented? Because I'm like, babe, you have like name me, you know, your closest association that are super into fitness. Like Steph was really into fitness, but she went out to Cali, and that's awesome. But it's basically me who's really, really, really into it. She wants to up her game. And I'm like, the quickest way to up your game on fitness is to get into the room with people who are really, really into fitness, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the law of the inner circle, which is huge. So if you want to be the best leader you can be, you owe it to the people who you influence to be in the room with other leaders.
It's such a weird thing,
right?
It's like we always say, like, what, the chicken or the egg? Like, a lot of this stuff is the chicken or the egg. How do you have the belief if you don't have the results yet? Like, you sometimes you just got to do it.
You'll never have the results until you have the belief.
Yeah.
The reason why you believe in yourself more right now than you've ever been from a neuroscientific standpoint is that Your subconscious mind is your brainstem. That's your central nervous system into your brainstem, into your mammalian and crocodile brain. That is an action-oriented brain. So your belief in yourself was lower before, right? And now it's higher. Why? Because you've taken action consistently, gotten better and better and better and better results. Not every time, but over time, you've gotten better results. So therefore, every action you take, I want everyone to hear this because this is leading yourself in a nutshell. If you believe that you can do something or become something, as soon as you take action toward that on a consistent basis, that will reinforce your belief. If you do not take action towards it, it will actually diminish your belief.
I can attest to that 100%.
Yep.
100%.
It's a fact. It's the way our brains are wired.
Do you want, and I'll give you an exact example. When I was in New Hampshire and like the podcast stalled and I wasn't working on it nearly as much as I should have, I knew I was fucking up.
And you started to believe it less. The vision became harder and harder to see.
I was like, I don't need, like, this isn't a thing anyway.
That's why you gotta have faith, man.
Yeah.
Like in yourself.
But you also have to have people around you. Like, you and I, we don't let each other slip up.
Oh, I know.
Like this podcast is a thing. Like we're doing it.
Yeah. How many times have we said, oh, how hard would this be to do alone? Right? You know, even just this setup.
I talked to Andrew about that the other day.
Yeah.
He's doing it alone.
And I have nothing but admiration for that because I know how difficult this is.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's at the earlier
stages.
Levels, yeah. The earlier stages. Mm-hmm. Like
when
again,
you really need the momentum.
The lighting, the camera, all that stuff with one person would be super hard. So yeah. I'm grateful that you and I are doing this together. And again, the journey, we all have a destination we're trying to get to, right? But you're going to spend most of your time on the journey there.
Mm.
So you need to enjoy the journey. You have to enjoy the journey.
The law of process is what Kevin just said. Leadership develops daily, not in a day.
Oh, okay. Mm. See, that wasn't even planned.
No.
But like, we're on the same page or something.
Yeah. Dude, these laws are great.
Yeah, they are.
I'm literally studying these so that I can leverage all of them. Because
it seems like we're leveraging some.
We're definitely leveraging some.
So that's good.
He says in the book, he says that all leaders, you cannot be an effective leader unless you incorporate these, at least some of these. But very, very few leaders, if pretty much no leaders, incorporate all of them well. I want to try to incorporate all of them. These are really good because the more experience I have as a leader, the more I'm like, oh, wow, that's a huge leverage point. And, it's a process. I'm not the best at all these. I mean, not even close, but I can always be better in each of them. And I know that the more I study them, the more I'll act on them. And the more I act on them, the more it'll become habit. And,
you
like,
fall
automatic.
Back on your training.
You do. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
My alarm went off this morning. Okay, here we go. My alarm went off this morning. I set an alarm for 7, and I set an alarm for 7:05. Sometimes I hit snooze for 5 minutes. Guess what, though? I never don't get up after the snooze. Like, Sometimes I just want 5 minutes. But guess what? I get up.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, it's not a standard of I set my alarm and then I hit snooze for 2 hours and it's like, no, I'm not getting up early. My standard changed. It went from 7 o'clock and then there would be an alarm for 8 o'clock and then there would be an alarm for 8:30. And 8:30 was the one like, dude, you got to get up now.
Yeah.
Now it's 7 o'clock, 7:05. Do I always hit snooze? No. Nope. A lot of times I'll roll over and see what my phone looks like. And if I have a whole shitload of things on it, I just get up and do it. So,
which usually you do because it's 26 right. text messages I know, from I me. Know.
But so my point is though, because I
we should really explain that. I think.
Well,
we always say that, but like I screenshot a lot of things for
literally
Kevin.
When I wake up in the morning, I usually have no less than 10 text messages.
Yeah, and of screenshots and yeah. different things. Yeah, because that's because my morning rituals. Yeah. I'm going through. I'm reviewing,
and that's not including yeah. like personal text messages. Yeah, and then like email. It's the whole thing. But that's what I wanted. Don't forget how bad you wanted it before you had it all. That's what I want.
Ooh, that's a great quote.
I want the text messages. I want the emails. I want the fans reaching out. I want whatever. Yeah, I want it all.
Yeah.
But again, so my level changed. My level went from, because it's progress, man. It's progress. Yeah. It went from me not ever setting an alarm. Like on the weekends, I would sleep till whenever I wanted. Yeah. To me now getting up every day before 5:15 during the week.
Yeah.
Even if I hit snooze, I'm up at 5:15. No matter what. I do not sleep in anymore.
Yeah.
But how did that happen? Like, that's a fail for me. Sleeping from hitting the snooze from 7 to 7:05 now is a fail for me. Like, we laughed about it. Like, oh, you're kind of fucking up.
Yeah.
Right?
In that moment. Yeah, yeah. It was hard not to.
Right. But a year ago, that wasn't even a thing.
Oh, that was, yeah. Well, that's your new worst is your better
so
than your
I
old
want
best.
People to realize, like,
yeah.
There's a fine line between giving yourself too much credit for not doing enough and giving yourself too much credit or not enough credit for doing too much.
I think it's super important that what you talk a lot about, like, do what's in your heart, do what you say you're going to do, like, follow through. But I do want to make it clear that you don't really have to do anything.
No.
No one has to do anything. This is what's in your heart. So one thing, I always do this. So I'm a numbers guy. If you live 100 years on this planet, you have 36,500 days because it's 365 days in a year. If you took every one of those days and woke up at 5 a.m. and got the fuck after it versus you slept in every day, those are two completely different
Your
lives.
Your life is going to be totally different.
One habit.
Yeah.
That's one habit.
Yeah.
And it makes the world a difference. Find those habits and shift them. Do you really think that you sleeping in every day versus you waking up and being productive are going to be the same amount of happiness? No chance.
In the moment,
ladies and
it
gentlemen,
feels good.
Yeah, but long term,
right,
no chance.
Right.
Brian Tracy, love him. Thank you, Brian, for this quote. Most people fail in life because they do what's fun and easy instead of what's not fun and difficult. It's short-term pain for long-term gain if you're willing to have the self-discipline. And it's short-term gain for long-term pain if you don't have self-discipline. So, for example, let's say you don't wake up in the morning. Your alarm is set for 7. You wanted to get up, get after it, be productive, be healthy. And you didn't. You hit the snooze button for 30 minutes. You chose short-term gain of staying in bed for long-term pain. So discipline or regret. It really just comes down to that. Like, we all have a certain amount of time to be at our best. And being at your best is going to fulfill the hell out of you. It's going to make you happy. And then the more you grow and the more you're at your best, the more you're going to help others do that. And the more that's going to make you happy. And then it's going to reinforce all these positive habits. The problem is you got to get started and build momentum enough to actually see those benefits. Because, okay, I know I've been rambling here, but I need to say this. I need to say this. I said this to Jenny earlier on our walk. I said, babe, we've been doing what, yoga for 5-6 months now? The first time where I felt even reasonably good was the other night. It's been 5.5 months. I'm good at shit, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
I literally, for the very first time the other night, felt competent at yoga. It took 5.5 months to go, I'm good at this. Dude, 5.5 months of disappointment. And by the way, I think it's because I'm in a cut. I've lost weight. Like, I've done it consistently at least once or twice a week for every week. And I finally got to the point where I'm like, I'm seeing the benefits. I'm more flexible. My training's better.
And I actually, during yoga, was like doing this ballerina pose. And the instructor was like, oh, good job. And the whole class looked at me like, oh my God, you can do that. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm doing this. And I'm like, it took me 6 months almost to feel even reasonably good. Why are we thinking we're going to be good at shit like right away? You got to do shit long enough, crawl through the mud long enough to where you actually see the benefit in order to lock in on it. Most people don't lock in on good habits because it takes so damn long for them to pay off.
I've had this clear distinction between like if you're doing what a lot of other people are, like most of the other people are, you're probably on the wrong side of 80-20.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. Which is a crazy thought because
most people do what's fun and easy instead of what's difficult and necessary.
But it's a crazy thought because so by those numbers, the 80% and the 20%, that means the 80% are most likely hanging out with 80% of people who are doing the same thing.
I know. So they think it's normal.
Yeah.
Until they hang out with people who aren't, which is what happened with me, which is what happened when I met Nate.
And then you realize like, wow. Life is actually a lot of work.
So think about it. If most people do what's fun and easy, which is the fact, and some people do what's hard and difficult. Brian Tracy also says this. He's a numbers game. Out of 100 people, only one will be independently wealthy in this country, in America. Four will be financially free. And 15 will be like basically middle class for the rest of their life when they retire. This is all when they retire. 80 out of every 100 people in this country will rely on charities, pensions, or like handouts, basically, for the rest of their life. They won't ever be financially free. 80 people out of every 100 in this country will never actually be financially free.
Wow.
Yeah, man. These numbers actually work out. They've done studies. Merrill Lynch, all them, they've done all these studies. Basically, it's kind of crazy. And it's not a moral or ethical choice. There's nothing wrong with choosing...
No, not at all.
To be average. Right. There's nothing. Just make sure it's a choice. Make sure you didn't just default.
Right.
Right? Like, I know that that's not for me. If it's for you, that's fine. Absolutely. I still love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, if you want to be extraordinary, you must do extraordinary shit.
That's the reason this whole podcast started, because I always wanted to be super successful. Yeah. I just didn't know it was an option.
And you didn't know how.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I have no, again, we say it all the time. If you're happy doing what you're doing.
Keep doing it.
Keep doing
it. Yeah. Happy people don't hurt anybody. They're helping people.
Yeah. I'm not expecting you to change your life if you don't want to.
Yeah.
This is, if you want to, it is an option. Mm. It is an option for sure.
And we can help, do it. Help you.
Imagine this.
Yeah.
We always say like you be the hero of your own story.
Oh yeah.
Imagine if.
Shout out to Joe Rogan.
Shout out to Joe Rogan. Imagine if somebody came up to you, or you went up to somebody and said, hey, Steve, I realize that like you feel like you're kind of stuck in life right now, right? I'm going to show you the preview of how you're going to feel in your deathbed. You ready?
Ooh,
here you go.
Imagine if they could do that. Terrence got me thinking a lot about that. He said, bring the cook in the kitchen.
Yeah.
No one's there advocating for your 60-year-old broke self. Keep going.
Yeah, so that's it.
That's like, the same thing.
If you're in this cyclone, this downward spiral that you feel like, ah, fuck, it's going to be like this forever, right? Visualize yourself 40 years down the road. Do you like what you see? If you don't, then the comfort you're seeking now, that's what that comfort's going to get you in 40 years.
Yeah.
100%. Unless you make a change. Everybody always says, I'll do it when this happens. I'll do it when it's warm. I'll do it when it's cold. Just do it, because what if that day never comes? What if you never get a chance to, you know what I mean?
I told you this today. I said, Kevin, I've started to establish a new habit in my life. Another shout out to Brian Tracy. He has this one speech in particular that I keep listening to because it's so much gold. And he says that the most important question you can ask yourself on a repetitive basis is, what's the most valuable use of my time right now?
Yeah.
I want to get in the habit. I've already been doing it. You said, like, I do that. I already do that.
Yeah.
What's the most valuable use of my time right now? Let's say you get in your car. I could listen to music. Or I could listen to the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. What's the best use of my time right now?
Comfortable in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the total opposite.
It's the total opposite. There's nothing wrong with music. It just isn't going to pay off as much in the future.
And you're far better at that than I am. You 100%, every time we're in the car, we either listen to nothing, or in your car, it's either nothing or something like that.
Yeah.
It's never music.
Well, a lot of times we like to talk.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're far better. So that's why I think you and I mesh so well. Andrew asked me, what is it that like makes you guys a good team? Alan is the in the clouds. He's doing all of it. He's doing, like, most of it he does at a high level that, like, I still am like, oh, Jesus. But but I kind of am, like, I've just made the turn.
Yeah.
I'm easy to connect with because I'm not where you are.
I think from a practical standpoint, too, you're more practical than I am.
I am far
I
more
tend
practical
to be far more vision-oriented, which, but we complement each other.
But I hate, I love music. I love listening. Oh, totally. It's 80 degrees out. I'm driving an hour away in after this podcast, and I would love to hammer some music. And there's a good chance I probably will.
Oh, yeah. But, nothing wrong with that. But, I'm not trying to make that wrong.
No, no, no. Yeah. But the thing is, I know. This is the difference. I know I should be listening to something else to get
if
me where I want to go.
If that's what you want.
Me.
This is the key. Okay, so me, I want other, all the listeners to realize right now, like, if you want to listen to music, do that.
Yes.
But if you know in your heart that it's going to be more valuable for you to listen to a book, you should try which, that and yes. then watch the benefits.
Which in this case, I know.
Dude, I was in Barnes & Noble last week or the week before, I forget, literally studying physics. I was actually doing practice problems out of a book. People look at me weird. Like, who's this fitness model doing physics? Like, on a Friday night, I'm weird. You don't have to study the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Throw on the podcast. I'll do it for you. But whatever your thing is, like, leadership is one of my things. I want to be one of the strongest leaders I can possibly be. Fitness. Like, I study fitness. Physics. I'm a numbers guy, which, by the way, is fitness. You know? Yep. Like, physics is a big... I'm literally doing practice problems. And just because you're not like you and me, like us, if you're listening, doesn't mean that you don't want to master your thing. One more thing about leadership that Brian Tracy says. He says, I studied all these people, thousands of people, 80 different countries, all this stuff. He says, out of everyone I've ever found who's world class at what they do and highly paid, they chose ahead of time to be excellent prior to ever being it. You chose ahead of time to be an exceptional podcaster, world class podcaster. You never will be until you choose right now to do it. You've already done that. I chose to be a world class speaker. We're on our way to that. And now we're mapping our actions to that vision. If you want to be successful, you have to. You have to decide to be excellent at what you do.
And that can be scary.
But you, there's no choice.
But no, that's what I mean.
Brian Tracy is straight up. He says you will fail if you don't decide to be excellent
from
at what
you do. From the aspect of what I was saying, like, I know when I leave today, I should listen to that. I should listen to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Great I book. Should listen to that.
Great book.
And I did. I think I'm two chapters in. Mm. But... why do I know that? Why am I hard on myself for that? Because I know that will help me get to my goals faster.
And help more people.
Than faster. Listening to Slow Motion by Trey Songz on repeat. Because it's a fucking banger. But I want people to realize, like, yeah. I consciously make that
so
decision every time I get 80, my car. 20.
80% of the sure, time, yeah. choose the book. Yeah. 20% of the yeah. time, you'll enjoy it more. Yeah. Joe Rogan, your hero, says that. He's like, when I rest at the end of a productive day, yeah. I feel like $1 million. Yeah. I feel like I've earned it.
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to music 80% of the time and you're only doing 20% of the thing you know you want to do, which is listen to a book, you're going to feel like shit.
Yeah.
If you listen to the book 80% of the time, then when you're listening to that music, you're going to be like, yeah, and you're going to really enjoy it. But again, this is specific to you.
Specific to me. I have goals. I have dreams that require me to try to be the best version of myself.
Yeah.
I know what I should be doing. And I think that's what this whole talk is about. Mm. If you are leading your life, make sure you know what you're leading your life towards.
Oh yeah,
and
that's so critical.
Make that choice, and then you get to make that choice every day to do all of the things. You can do all of the things, or you can do 80% of the things, you can do 50% of the things, whatever.
Yeah.
But find your thing that you're trying to shoot for, and then plan accordingly. And yeah. then that you live your life leading your life in the way you want.
I know. Woo! On your own terms, that's huge.
What else you got?
That it? I think that's everything, man. Ooh, the law of navigation.
Hammer it.
It's what you just said.
Okay.
Anyone can steer the ship, but it takes a leader to chart the course. What John Maxwell means by that is, like, the vision, map your actions to the vision. But you have to have the vision first.
Right.
Because it is the journey that matters, 100%. But without a destination, you're just kind of drifting. And you're not going to really know whether or not you're winning or losing, or should I feel good? Should I feel bad? You're just going to be in this lukewarm middle.
So we'll do this. This is what we'll do. We'll tease a future episode.
Let's do it.
We're going to tease a future episode
Ooh,
right
this
now
is new.
That we haven't
this
even recorded yet.
Ooh,
we haven't even recorded it yet, and I'm already going to tease it.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's good. Some balls.
Yeah.
Some balls in this kid. So we're going to do an episode on relationships.
Oh, yeah. Right? Okay, so we've decided that.
Yeah, we've decided.
The less balls you
But I mean,
thought.
No, we haven't recorded it yet.
Yeah, yeah, we haven't recorded it. Yet. Okay.
One of the things we talk about all the time, this is one of the things that I like realized that kind of blew my mind. Most people end up in a relationship, yeah. right? You just said, if you're just kind of lost, you just kind of end up where you end up. Wherever the wind takes you, that's kind of where you end up.
If you don't have a destination, it's wherever the wind takes
right.
you.
Right.
Yeah.
The destination...
Or vision, I should say.
Yeah. So where most people end up is married.
Yeah.
And we said, did they end up there because they pushed themselves that way? No, they ended up there because that's what happened. Also, marriage, love, relationships is something that most people don't study.
And oh, I know.
So, yeah, yeah. like, they ended up there not necessarily by their own vision. So many people want to get married, right? But how many people visualize that super successful marriage where everything, the intimacy is next level, the communication is next level,
oh, yeah.
the goals, the hopes and dreams are next level.
Right.
If you want to end up in a marriage, good. I hope you do. I hope you find the person that blows your socks off. But visualize what kind of marriage you want.
Yeah.
So totally. You don't end up, quote unquote, like everybody else. Have your own version of what everybody else has.
Oh, that's a great thing.
It's hard to...
Remember how I said, like, when we were a kid, we visualized having our license yeah. one day, having a car yep. one day, having a house one day. We're going to have those things, you know, eventually. Our visions come true. People, as kids, did visualize being married, probably.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. Absolutely. Females tend to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But, like you said, be more specific. Be more clear on your goal. Clarity is everything. Like, I always go back to the puzzle analogy. You know, you and I both go to do a puzzle. Kevin's in one room, I'm in the other. One of us can see the cover of what the puzzle is supposed to look like. We both have all the pieces. One of us is going to be struggling while the other one, like, puts the pieces down right. The pieces are your actions, your behaviors, your habits, your thoughts. If you don't know what the puzzle is supposed to look like, you're never going to put the puzzle together efficiently. And you're always going to feel like you're treading water.
That, yeah, man, that vision is super important.
So important.
Because imagine if somebody sat, again, I love to just kind of like put hypotheticals. Imagine if somebody sat you down and said, John visualized this and he believed this. This is what he got. Then you go to Mark Cuban, visualized this and acted upon his visions.
Yeah, mapped his actions to his vision.
Yeah. If you're visualizing a happy marriage, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah, to you.
To you.
To you. And to her or him.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah. You've got to integrate
and
visions.
That means you're probably going to try to be the best version of yourself.
One of the things, one of the most difficult challenges I've found in a relationship is integrating visions. Figuring out, because visions evolve as we do. I always say your vision will grow and evolve as you do. As you grow as a leader, your vision will evolve. Integrating the vision with your relationship is also critical. But before you're in one, have a vision for what you wanted, then you'll learn along the way and that vision will change.
The reason I tease that is because we talk about the Bill Burr special somebody walks into the house and they're like, I can tell this guy has none of his stuff here.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people are afraid to end up in that situation.
Oh yeah, for sure.
One of the reasons they're afraid is because they don't know there's another way.
Yeah, yeah. And they certainly don't know how to get there.
Yeah. So again, this the visualization and the taking action towards your visualization is with anything. Fitness,
oh, yeah.
wealth creation, oh, yeah. relationships,
yep.
anything.
Yep.
So
health,
I wanted to,
health, wealth, and love.
Yeah.
You just described the big three.
Right. Yep. And I wanted to tease that because...
Well done.
You got to be a leader in your life, but that means everything. That means your
everything.
Future. That yep. means your present. That means everything.
And you're going to make everyone around you better for doing this.
Yes.
You know? Because they're going to know that's an option now, and they're going to want to lead. They're going to want to be leaders too. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful thing, man.
Well, I am going to pack my stuff, take a little trip, mm-hmm. and
enjoy
a little weekend, a little yes. weekend action.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you're doing, but I hope you're going to have a great night. I hope the listeners, whatever day it is you're listening, I hope you have a great day, a great night, and I hope all is well in your life. And more than anything, I hope that you learn something. And I want you to know, again, like I say, you can fucking do it. If you can think it and you're willing to put in the effort, that's the big one, that middle thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Willing to put in the effort. You can do it.
And every day.
It will take time.
Yeah.
It will take energy. It will hurt. But it will be worth it when you get there.
Leaders develop daily, not in a day. Think long term. Be the tortoise. Visualize. map your actions to that visualization and work toward it every day. And yeah, you're going to fail along the way, but then you're going to learn and that vision is going to become more clear.
Yep.
And so are the actions.
You're going to end up somewhere in your life. It might as well be where you pick.
Oh, dude, that's a great quote.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so, so very much for listening to another episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. Alan and I love it, and we hope you guys love it.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Ladies and gents, Alan and I hope you learned a shit ton about leadership. And speaking of leadership, next week we have Brian Wood on the podcast. Brian Wood is a former leader in the British military, and he speaks all about leadership, and he goes through an ambush that he was a part of when he was ambushed by Iraqi soldiers.
Yeah, unbelievable. Iraqi militia and the courage that it took, hand-to-hand bayonet combat, full frontal assault. Unbelievable story. Do not miss this episode.
It is great. Bye.
Bye.